Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Read you a list of names. Joan Connolly, Joseph Corr, Edward Doherty, John Laverty, John McCurr, Father Hugh Mullen, Joseph Murphy, Noel Phillips, Francis Quinn, and Daniel Teggart. The names of 10 innocent people who were killed in 1971 in what has become known as the Ballymurphy Massacre. New inquests were ordered into their deaths, and this afternoon the coroner, Mrs. Justice Keegan, ruled all 10 victims were entirely innocent, were not paramilitary members, were not armed, and posed no threat. No one has ever been charged or convicted in connection with any of the deaths. We're going to hear now from the daughters of two of those killed nearly 50 years ago. I'll go first to Eileen McKeown. Eileen, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
You were the daughter of Joseph Corr, who was killed in Ballymurphy when he was just 43 years of age. Tell me about your father's life before he was killed.
Well, my father said before he was killed, he was very hardworking, family man. He just lived for his family. I mean, they had 7 kids. The youngest was only 4 months old. We were actually, you know, talking about going away to Australia. My daddy's brother lived in Australia, and because my daddy was a machinist in Shorts Aircraft Factory and he had a trade, we were actually, you know, they were talking about moving to Australia. In fact, it was a goal that we were going to Australia before my daddy was killed.
Mm-hmm.
So by them doing what they did, I mean, they just devastated and wrecked our whole family, you know, all together.
And the judge found in her finding in the inquest today, Eileen, that Joseph Corr, your father, was shot on August the 11th, but he died on the 27th of that month.
He did, yes.
Can you tell people what happened, how he suffered?
My daddy was shot. He was shot on the 11th of August, 1971. He was actually picked up by the same soldiers that shot him, and instead of them taking him to the Royal Victoria Hospital, which is only down the road, they took him to Musgrave Park Military Wing, where he was left there for a couple of days before my mummy actually found him, because nobody came to even inform my mummy of where he was or that he was shot or anything to do with him. And then when she actually found him in the hospital, she wasn't allowed in to see him unless there was a police presence, and she had to be searched, and she wasn't allowed to see him on her own.
And how long was it before your mummy knew where he was?
It was 2 to 3 days before my mummy knew where he was.
And how were you all as a family? You must have been worried sick.
Well, my mummy was devastated because my brother was with him. So when they got separated, Joe came home, the youngest brother, Joe Jr., came home expecting to see his daddy in the house. But, I mean, because he was missing for the 3 days and not actually knowing that he was critically ill in the hospital, because a lot of people were arrested that morning as well. So obviously she was hoping that he was one of the ones who was arrested. But, you know, they moved him from doctor at the military wing hospital, told my mummy that my daddy was far too ill to be moved. And then the next thing that she went home, she got a phone call to say that daddy was being moved, and they put him in a helicopter and moved him from Musgrave to the Royal, causing him the hemorrhage.
And he passed away on the 27th.
At the 27th, 16 days after my daddy was shot.
And so many children in your poor mother. What impact did that have on your family?
It had a terrible impact on our family because both my parents worked. So, you know, my mummy was left on her own with 7 kids. Thankfully, the neighbourhood that we lived in Ballymurphy, was a well-knit community, you know, and they all looked after one another.
Yeah.
So my mummy's neighbours actually helped her with us because, you know, of the hours that she worked in.
Yeah.
They helped my mummy get us out to school and take us in at lunchtime when we were, you know, at home from school for lunch. the neighbours would have helped a great deal.
Do you remember that period very well, Eileen, the years shortly after your father's killing?
I don't actually. I mean, this is me listening to, you know, my brother from when I started, because I was the member of the family that started actually, you know, looking into my daddy's death, because I had heard about all them. Well, I knew John Mavery was shot along with him, but we didn't know the full circumstances of how bad, you know, everything was. So I actually learnt more through doing this, mm-hmm. and then asking different family members of, like, you know, what happened, because I was only 9 when this happened to my daddy. So
yeah,
I've actually learnt a lot through talking to people and other family members that, you know, this is what happened and this is how it was.
And it can't be easy to be learning this detail.
It wasn't. It was very, very difficult. I mean, the inquest was harrowing. You know, we had got the inquest papers and the post-mortem papers a brave lot of years ago when we actually first started doing this. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't even bring myself to read them. You know, I would open the page and look at it, and then I would close it again, and I just went,
yeah.
I can't even do that.
I hope I'm not going to upset you now, Eileen, but I want to tell people two more pieces of information from the findings from the coroner's report today. She said your father was shot in the back when he was either crouching, crawling, or prone, in a prone position. And she said there was no evidence that the deceased was armed or acting in a manner that could be perceived as posing a threat. Now, I want to put those two pieces of information together, because that was the suggestion, wasn't it, that your family had to live with for years, scurrilous rumours that he was ready to shoot. Is that right?
Yeah, my daddy was portrayed as a gunman for all those years. While my daddy was lying bleeding and needing medical attention, Jackson was round the corner giving an interview about how well they were handling the area and how they'd wiped out a hardcore IRA unit. That was the whole thing that we had to live with. Mm-hmm. You couldn't speak to people because you didn't want to tell people your daddy was shot because of the word that was out about the media and about 10 IRA gunmen wiped out. You know, they're just like that. You just have to say, when you said your daddy was innocent, they thought you were telling lies.
Stay with me, Ollie.
You know, my mummy actually, because my daddy worked in Shorts Aircraft Factory, mm-hmm. and like, I mean, 50 years ago was a big thing for a Catholic to be working in a place like that. So because of what was fed, that the army fed the media, my mummy got hate mail from his so-called workmates. My mummy received a letter, it was around the week of my daddy's funeral, and the letter stated, "May your subhuman husband and his pals roast in hell." And that's what my mummy received on that week. And that was what he got from Shorts for being working there for years, and that's the only thing that they got out of Shorts.
My God, that must have been absolutely awful to live with for years and years. I'm going to ask you, Eileen, in just a moment about how important, given all of that, how important today's findings are. But I want to talk as well to Janet Donnelly, who's the daughter. Stay with me, Eileen, if you don't mind. Janet Donnelly, who's the daughter of Joseph Murray. Joseph Murphy, excuse me, Janet. Joseph Murphy, who was killed aged 41. Joseph was shot on August the 9th, but died of his wounds on August the 22nd. And the coroner, Janet, said that there was no real doubt that he and other victims were shot by the parachute regiment of the British Army, that the force was clearly disproportionate. You were just 8 years old, Janet, in 1971, when your father was shot.
I was. My father was shot in what is now known as the Mansfield. There was 4 people to die in that field. My daddy, Joseph Murphy, Joan Connolly, Danny Taggart, and young Noel Phillips. There was other people, including an 11-year-old boy, seriously wounded, also in that field. There's not much talk about the wounded, but there was our wounded. My daddy lived for 13 days. And my daddy told my mum a harrowing story of the ill treatment that he received. Within 20 minutes of my daddy being shot, the British Army drove across the road, and it was only from one side of the road to the other. They drove across and picked up the bodies, but instead of taking them to the Royal Victoria Hospital, which was minutes away, they were taken into the barracks, where my father told my mummy that he was beaten, and he was shot again into his open wound. There was no proper investigation at the time. The original inquest was flawed, and again, they were all branded gunmen and gunwomen. Even the priest was a so-called gunman. There were 16 original army statements, and they detail shooting victims in that field and claim that they were all gunmen. They claim Mrs. Connolly was a gunwoman. She was firing a pistol. She was flying over a hedge, got up, started shooting again, and then she was shot again, and she got up. They portrayed her like a superwoman. And these were the lies of the original inquest. And it took us as families years to gather up these documents, inquest papers. And even to this day, we didn't get all the papers. We're still... My daddy was shot. As I said, he spent 13 days in hospital. There was no medical records. How can there be no medical records for a man who spent 13 days in hospital?
Mm-hmm. And that story he told your mother, Janet, he told her in those 13 days, during those 13 days, he told your mother what happened. Is that right?
He did.
He must have been in an awful way himself.
He was. Go ahead.
Very weak. What impact did that have on your mother? I mean, how did she relay that story to the rest of the family? She must have been in bits.
She was in bits. But as Eileen says, we live in a close-knit Ballymurphy community. And there was other people in that Henry Taggart. There was two people in that Henry Taggart Hall who survived, who were witnesses and made statement at the time. And they tell the same type of story of how badly they were beaten. One man who hadn't been shot when the army came into the field, he wasn't shot. The army came in to pick the bodies up, and they shot him at close range, and that was Stuart Russell.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an old soldier who had fought in the war, Davy Callaghan. He was brought into the Taggart. He was one of the original witnesses, as was Stuart Russell. And they told the same story as my father told about the beatings that they received when they were brought into Henry Taggart.
Can I ask you both, this is a 50-year campaign, imagine at home people listening every single day, pouring through stuff, campaigning to clear your relatives' names, and this is the culmination of it. Can I ask you both what it means to you when you heard that? I know there was applause today when the verdict was, or the findings were read out. Eileen, what does it mean to you today?
It means the world to me today. Absolutely means the world to me. It's like a weight just getting lifted off your shoulders. Just for somebody to say what you knew all along, that your daddy was innocent and that your daddy shouldn't have been branded a gunman because he had no guns whatsoever. He was shot in the back. That was the best news that we could have received today. And she couldn't have come up with any other thing because she sat through that court and listened to the lies that they were telling. And she just couldn't have came to any other conclusion.
Yeah, she couldn't have done anything more. Is that your opinion as well, Janet?
Yeah, it is my opinion. And I thought she was very thorough. When you sit in court for 100 days and you see what is the hindrance that's put in front of her, with the MOD witnesses not turning up, but army witnesses did turn up, I can't remember, are they put in excuses, have excuses that they're all suffering from PTSD, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Post-traumatic stress syndrome. And they put all these excuses in, medical excuses, to get out of court. We had some of our civilian witnesses right up until their deathbed done their best to help, and one of them was George Russell. Weeks before he died, his statements being sent forth, he lived in England, and he wanted to make sure his statement was heard. And he actually got compensated. He was one of the ones that was brought into Henry Taggart,
mm-hmm.
and he got compensated.
Well, I know there are an awful lot of relatives as well, people who campaigned for years who may have passed away and didn't get the joy of seeing today. But for those who were present, I'm sure it was a fantastic day. Can I thank you both wholeheartedly? Janet Donnelly, daughter of Joseph Murphy, and Eileen McKeown, daughter of Joseph Corr. Thank you very, very much indeed for joining us on the programme this evening.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.